Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see you in worship this morning in person and also online. We're at the fourth Sunday of Advent, which means Christmas Day celebration is right around the corner. As we continue to prepare our hearts and minds for the celebration of our Savior's birth, another Advent moment for us to consider. Do you know what it's like to be knocked down in life or by life? Who of us doesn't, to one degree or another? And such does not just happen to individuals, it also happens to the church. The world is not a fan of the church. And so there have been attempts to knock it down. And even though the church may not have the influence it once had, the small C church, the church, capital C, will endure. And the Lord reminds us of this in a dramatic way, which leads to our Advent moment for today. Blessings on your worship. If you're online and you need to find the bulletin yet, you can go to our website under the Staying Connected to God's Word link and find it there. Or also on the media link, you can find the bulletin there. If you receive our weekly email, the link to the bulletin can be found there as well. Let us turn our attention to our invocation in the middle of page 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His servants.
Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Praise be to God.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven, as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Please be seated. A reading from Holy Scripture, Genesis chapter 4 and 5, where it's pointed out that the need for a Savior became evident early on in history. We also find out that sin gets passed down from generation to generation. But it didn't have to be that way. We hear these words. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. But you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Adam made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them mankind when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years, and then he died. The word of the Lord. The church remains under assault, but the Lord God has not left us, the church, unprepared and unprotected. A reading from Holy Scripture, Revelation 12. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. The word of the Lord.
Waiting in a silent prayer.
Please stand for our gospel reading. Our reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the first chapter, pointing out the fact that Jesus is not just another option of wishful thinking. He is the real deal, and the proof is overwhelming. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is all possible from God our Father through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we meditate today. Amen. We want to hear these words once again from the book of Revelation, chapter 12. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is aware of the fact that we will be beat down in this life, but has not left us to remain down, but lifts us up by his grace. Have you been a bully? Or have you been bullied? Or perhaps you are still one or the other. Unfortunately, the earthly church has its share of bullies. And thankfully, though, as long as such are hearing the word of God, it is the prayer that that word will at some point convict them in their hearts and encourage them and motivate them to live God-pleasing lives from that point on. With Satan's rebellion, we become aware of a bully and the damage a bully can do. The book of Revelation spells this out in uncertain terms. It also spells out the way, then, to have this bully not get the last word. The Lord does not hide the fact that the church, both capital C and small letter C, that is the invisible church, the sum total of all believers everywhere, past, present, and future, together with the visible church, or churches, such as we have here at St. Mark's, will have to endure periods of beatdown or knockdown. Now, the Lord God does not take pleasure in the fact that such will happen to his church. And yet he has made it clear he is able to use such moments throughout history to serve for the benefit of his church, the people who make up his church, that is you and me, by the grace of God. And so the Lord today, through the Apostle John, reminds us in a way that is not always clear upon first reading or even second or third reading, that while all this is taking place, the beatdowns and the lifting up, he also reminds us that the church, capital C, remains victorious. Now, the church remains victorious, though for a time it will have to endure beatdowns, such as those which are led by the arch enemy himself, Satan. Satan is described here as another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth. Different ways Satan is described here. He is a real entity. Scripture also refers to Satan, this arch enemy, this enormous red dragon, as a roaring lion who is hungry and eager to devour the people of this world, especially those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. He is also described in the Bible as being the father of lies. He is not looking out for your best interest. Oh, he comes across all sweet as honey, but his honey is dripping with poison. He's not a friend. He's a bully. But how many people play with Satan like he is a friend and succumb to his poisonous honey? The description here that the Holy Spirit gives to the Apostle John in his vision, we're in the fourth vision within the book of Revelation, reminds us that Satan comes across as being all-powerful and righteous, appearing to be godlike, and yet the Greek words that are used emphasize that he is a fake. The crown in his head is an imitation. It's not the real crown. But let's not dismiss the fact that for reasons unknown to us, God has left him with some ability to do damage. But his damage is limited, but still real nonetheless. Some of that damage that is caused by Satan, that great bully, that enormous red dragon, is that he knows your weaknesses. Do you know your weaknesses? It might be doubt. When it comes to God's love and how you think God should show love to you in your life, and maybe your life is being beat down, and so you wonder, does God really love you? And Satan will take that crack and he will open it wide and say, see, if God really loved you, he would not allow these beat downs in your life. Maybe it is money. And so you justify the pursuit of money at the expense of not only faith, but also your family and even your values, your morals, your ethics. Maybe it's a drug or a drink. Maybe it's the computer, the cell phone. Weaknesses come in all sorts of sizes and shapes. They leave us vulnerable. And in this side of heaven, we're always going to have to deal with those weaknesses. So it's important that we get to recognize what our weaknesses are and what Satan is willing to exploit. Because he's not our friend. He's a bully. But he does have limits. Satan, though, is not alone in his work, is he? He has allies. He has our own sinful flesh, which by nature is at odds with God, an enemy of God. Galatians 5 reminds us that our sinful flesh is in conflict with the new man that God puts in us by grace, through his means of grace. So we're rebellious by nature. And then there's the unbelieving world, which is another ally of Satan and focused on doing the opposite of what God wants in this world. And an unbelieving world seems to be having great success right now, doesn't it? There's not a show on TV, it seems, not that I watch a ton of it, that doesn't have some anti-God push toward it. Oh, it's not blatant. Then again, maybe it is. The lifestyles and so forth that are pushed contrary to the Word of God, all tools of Satan to bully the people of this world into his submission. You know what's at the heart of Satan and our sinful flesh and the unbelieving world? Me, 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 me. And maybe that me, 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 me is one of our weaknesses we need to be aware of. And so the Lord reminds us in a puzzling way, in a dramatic way, in a memorable way, to be vigilant of Satan and his allies, our own sinful flesh and the unbelieving world. He reminds us to not be dismissive of what is going on. Because what is going on today is not new. It's been going on ever since the fall into sin, ever since the rebellion of Satan and the angels he helped fling out of the earth with his tail, with his deception. Because again, remember, the angels were created too with the ability not to sin, to serve God out of joy and pleasure. But Satan, an archangel, rebelled against God and took other angels with him. But God pointed out the fact your power is limited. He's dangerous, but limited. And so our faith that God has given to us cannot be a casual faith, because casual faith really is not faith. The book of James points that out too. Faith without works is dead. And one of the works that God wants to see, the fruits of faith, is being connected to His Word, is not taking our faith casually. A lukewarmness. Another place in Revelation talks about God spits out the lukewarm. And so test your faith. Is it casual? Pray then that God turns that casual faith into solid, committed faith. And let's also not be deceived by thinking that we cannot fall. Because the Lord reminds us that as long as we're in this side of heaven, any one of us could fall to Satan's tricks, to his bulliness. That's not that we're supposed to be scared of, but that we don't become so full of ourselves that we forget where our strength really lies. Ephesians 6 reminds us that our battle's not so much against flesh and blood. It's not against Hollywood. It's not against human beings per se. It's against Satan and his forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And the only way to combat Satan and his forces are not by our strength, but by God's strength. And so we need to be vigilant. And we need to stay connected to God through His Word. To be like the psalmist of Psalm 1, who meditated upon God's Word day and night, so he could be like a tree planted by streams of water. When the storms come, we might bend, but we're not going to yield and fall over. And we're going to look to Psalm 119 for guidance. Your word is a Lord, a word to my feet and life for my path. We're going to look to that word of God to continually guide us on our way, not to our sinful flesh or the sinful world. Keeping in mind the words of Psalm 46, that God is our refuge and strength. He's got us. He protects us. Even as the world is allowed to knock us down, He remains our strength. And so He encourages us then to pray. Pray for a stronger faith. Pray to recognize the weaknesses in our life. Pray that we might stay connected to His means of grace. And as we are, that means of grace will build us up. You know, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Help us recognize what is a temptation for us and keep us from it. Open our eyes to such. And then we also pray, deliver us from evil. Again, help us recognize what that evil is, that it's out to get us. And through your word, keep us from falling prey to that evil. And ultimately, deliver us from this veil of tears and source of evil to heaven. And He will. Because He has promised that the church remains victorious. And who's the church? It's you. By the grace of God. We, the church, which is emphasized here in Revelation 12, that's the woman, for the most part, that's being emphasized here, is the church, the bride of Christ, not Mary. Context helps us understand it's the church. The church remains victorious. The church is rooted in a Christmas promise, which is also then alluded to here. She will give birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to His throne, pointing out the fact that Jesus kept His promise. Jesus came in human flesh, and He did what He set out to do, to deliver us from all of our sins and weaknesses, that they may not be held against us and keep us out of God's sight forever. So He endured the temptations of Satan himself. He lived the perfect life and took that perfect life to the cross, where He died an innocent death with all of our sins upon Him. And said from that cross, it is finished. Your sins are paid for. You are forgiven. And with that forgiveness comes a new attitude in life and the gift of eternal life. And so when Jesus died and rose again, His earthly work, in a sense, was finished, and so He ascended back into heaven, where He rules over all things. And though the beatdowns are allowed to happen, he uses them for our good, to keep our eyes fixed and focused. He knows what temptation is. He knows what beatdowns are. He knows the bulliness of Satan. Satan tried to stop the work of Jesus, right? He wasn't sure what Jesus was up to, but he knew that baby born at Bethlehem was not a good thing for him. And so what did he lead Herod to do? In an attempt to get rid of Jesus? Let's kill all these babies. Or also then, think of other ways Satan tried to stop Jesus. All the demon possession that was thrown at him. And even Peter, a disciple, saying, "Lord, you can't go to that cross." And what did Jesus say to him? "Peter, get behind me, Satan." Peter later came to recognize that he was wrong and was restored. It took a while for the disciples then, as it takes sometimes people today, to realize why Jesus truly came. Not just to have a day off from work, not just to sing some Christmas carols, but to realize that he came to take on Satan, and he won. He came to shed his blood because we were held captive by Satan, that bully. And so Jesus, through his shed blood, that kept promise, has ransomed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. All the proof is there, including his ascension and his promise that he will return yet again. The church remains victorious. And through the means of grace, God reminds us of that, and he keeps us on track for that victory, the full benefits of it. Through his means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament, he brings people who are dead in sin and makes them alive in Christ. And then he nurtures that faith through word and sacrament and equips his church to take on Satan and his allies so that we can remain victorious. The number 12 here in Revelation emphasizes the church. And so God is talking about his church remains victorious. But if we who are in the church not remain plugged in, what happens? We lose. But not because God didn't do anything to help us win. We unplugged ourselves from God. And so Christmas is a great time again to invite family and friends or whoever you know who has deplugged themselves from the church to get plugged back in again. And not just at Christmas time, but all year long. Because the bully is always active. And so we need to stay active in faith as well. And so through the means of grace, God keeps that eternal goal in front of us. He helps keep our eyes fixed and focused on the victory that has been won for us in Christ Jesus. He reminds us through the Word that this life is temporary. 1,260 days. 3.5 years. It's temporary. As we witness every day as people die. But how do they die? In the Lord or without the Lord? That's a key question. And so God has given his means of grace to the church to help people when they die to die in the Lord and victorious. So what are you living for? While we're in this desert, this wilderness for 1,260 days. God help us continually to live for him and to show that through our lifestyle. To emphasize to the world that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And so we don't sanction the things of this world. But rather, we promote the things of God. Expecting a beatdown. But in the end, who's victorious? The church. And who's the church? That's you. Earthly churches may disappear or shrink. Such in and of itself is not a definition of losing. Churches may grow. Earthly churches, that is. That in and of itself is not a definition of winning. What defines the victory, the victorious outcome, is Christ. And we who are connected to Him by grace are victorious, even though for a little while now we may appear beat down. Take heart. Jesus did win. Christmas and Good Friday and Easter prove it. Now that is a true Advent moment. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who has made us victorious. Amen. We confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found for us on page 8.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
We turn to the prayer of the church. Almighty God,
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
And help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity.
Dear Savior, O rich the gifts you bring, yourself made poor and weak, O love beyond expression that thus can sinners seek. For this, O Lord, will we our joyous tribute bring you, and glad praises sing you, ever grateful we will be. Lord, continue to bring relief and strength to the bodies of Fumiko Stark, Rich Baker, and David Scaltetti due to recent needs for medical care. We thank you for the medical teams and skills available to them, this by your grace and creating. Also renew them in mind and heart with the news of a Savior for them, who is Christ the Lord. And we thank you for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. Continue to shower them with your blessings. May those among us celebrating a wedding anniversary be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
As we turn to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Now may this body which was shed for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and in joy and with confidence. You are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests
at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again. Just a reminder about the Connect cards, those blue cards that were by the bulletin. If you haven't had a chance to fill one out yet, please take the time to do so, and you can return them in the basket on that table in the lobby there, the table with the lamp on it. And for our guests among us on the backside, if you want to share more information, please do so. Please take the time to introduce yourself to one another before you leave God's house this morning, especially at this Christmas time. Good way to introduce Christmas greetings to one another. We do have a Bible study taking place this morning, so we'll continue our look at Martin Luther, the 1500s, and how the Lord allowed his work to impact not only the church then, but also the church still today. We do have Christmas services coming up, Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Looking at the weather forecast, it's probably looking like the 8 o'clock service will be moved from outdoors to indoors. So just a FYI on that, 50% chance rain and 48 degrees. So looking like inside, but that's okay. We're celebrating. Christmas Day at 10:30 inside with Holy Communion. If you would like invites, again, you can direct them to our Facebook page, our website, or also there are paper invites available either on the information board ledge or also by the Welcome Center. Please help yourself to those. Your 22 thank offering envelopes are available, your 2022, not your individual 22 thank offering envelopes. But if you want to take 22 of them, go ahead. They're there in the lobby. You'll find them there. They should be in alphabetical order, unless you changed your name. And if you didn't go get them today, you can get them during the week or later on. They'll be in the library in the admin building. If you know someone who won't be able to make it to church for various reasons in recent weeks, come up. Upcoming weeks, please feel free to
to take their offering envelopes. Appreciate that. And then to see the weekly news for other news and events that are going on, there's an update from Christian Aid and Relief regarding the tornadoes that have taken place in other parts of the country, how we can be of help there in addition to prayers. Blessings on your day, a blessed Christmas to all as we look forward to celebrating his birth once again. Thank you. Hey, Marty, there's one more announcement, I guess.
Hey, I just wanted to use this opportunity. Pastor, from time to time, has invited you to join the Sunday School Praise Singing. It's 9:15 to 9:30, and today we're going to bring a piano down here and use that block and sing down here, and we'd like you to stay and join us. I think it's a great benefit, especially for you guys. If you stay, starting in January, you can come over. We sing in the small chapel over there, 9:15 to 9:30. I know that Northern California Lutherans love to sing, and if you get out of there at 9:30, you might run into some of your 10:45 brothers and sisters that you haven't seen. That's all I got.